From the bottom of Yud Tes Amud Beis. Bottom of Yud Tes Amud Beis. From five lines from the bottom. Okay, so yeah, so right before that, the two dots. The Mishnah said, the Bryce said, "V'yotzeba mishum simcha, ve'eno yotzeba mishum chagiga." The Gemara was discussing earlier, if a person, let's say, set aside an animal originally as a carbon toda, meaning it was already designated as another carbon, so you can use that animal to fulfill your obligation of what's called the shalmi simcha, which is the carbon shlamim that's offered on yontif, but you cannot use it to satisfy your obligation of offering a carbon chagiga. So the Gemara asks, "Pshita davar shebechovahu v'chol davar shebechova eno ba elamen achulin." What's the chiddush of this statement? Because we know the Gemara tells us in other places in Pesachim that whenever you have an obligation to bring a certain type of carbon, that carbon has to come from a chulin animal. In other words, it can't come from an animal that was already designated as a different carbon. You can't. That's not going to work. So what's the chiddush of this statement? So the Gemara says, "Lo tzricha da afa gav de parish." The chiddush is that even though you specified originally when you set aside the animal as a toda, you said on the condition that I'm able to use it as a chagiga, that's still not going to work. Kidiba aminei Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish mir Rabbi Yochanan haomer harei alai toda ve'etze ba'yedei chagiga harei nazir va'agalech mos meiser sheni mahu. The Gemara raises two similar types of questions. The first one is the one that's directly related to our case, which is if a person says, I'm hereby designating animal X as a carbon toda, but I also want to use it to satisfy my obligation of a carbon chagiga. That's case number one. Case number two is, let's say a person decided to become a Nazir. He made a declaration saying that he's going to become a Nazir. However, he also specified that he's going to purchase his carbonos that he's going to use at the end of his Nazirus using Meiser Sheni money. So Meiser Sheni money already has to be brought up to Yerushalayim, already has to be used in the state of Tahara. So he wants to essentially use pre-designated money for Meiser Sheni to purchase his carbonos. So the question is, what would the halacha be in these two cases? So Amar Lei, Nadir Ve'enu Yotze, Nazir Ve'enu Megaleach. The Gemara basically says, that his statements are binding. In other words, his Nazirus is valid. He's now a Nazir. And the fact that this animal is a Toda is also binding. But the second half of his statement we essentially ignore. So in other words, we don't say that you can use it as a Chagiga. We don't say that you can use Meiser Sheni money to purchase your Carbonos at the end of your Nazirus. But the first half of your statement is in fact going to be binding. Okay, then the Gemara says, "Ahu gavra de amar lehu, habule arba me'azuze lefloni velinsiv brati." There was a guy, I think the case was the guy was on his deathbed, and he was and he basically said, "I want you to give Reuven, 400 zuz, and also he should marry my daughter." So Amar of Papa, Arba Mea Shakil Uvrade Ibay Nasiv Ibay Lo Nasiv. So Papa said that Reuven is entitled to the 400 zuz. That's what the guy said on his deathbed. And in terms of whether Reuven has to marry this guy's daughter, that's up to him. He can decide if he wants to marry. In other words, he's entitled to the money regardless of whether he marries this guy's daughter. However, the Gemara clarifies, "Taima de Amar Havule Velinsiv." Avali Amar Linsiv Havule Inasiv Shakil Vilo Nasiv Lo Shakil. That the only reason why Reuven was entitled to the money, irrespective of whether he married this guy's daughter, was only because of the way the guy formulated the declaration. He said, first he said, "Give him the money," then he said, he should marry my daughter. But had he said it in the reverse, had he said, "Marry my daughter and then take the money," then the only way that Reuven would have been entitled to the money, it would have been had he married the daughter. Okay, then the Gemara says, "Yasim Mereimar, the Ka'amar Lahash So the Gemara just points out almost like a textual point that Mereimar derived this statement on his own, whereas Ravina said to him that we derived this idea that we don't necessarily hold you accountable for the latter words that you say based on the earlier statement that we just quoted of the guy who basically set aside an animal as a toda and then decided he wanted to use it as a chagiga, where we said that that is not going to be binding. Okay, the Gemara says, "Tani Tana Kamei de Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abba, Vayakreva Sha'ola Vayaseha Kamishpat, Kemishpat Olas Nedava, Limir Al Olas Chova Sheteuna Smicha." So the Gemara cites a pasuk from Parsha Shmini. The pasuk says that Aaron offers the Ola and he did it Kamishpat. He did it according to its law. So what does that mean exactly? So the Gemara says that it has to follow the laws of an olas nedava, a carbon ola which is voluntary. Now we know there are psukim and chumash that say explicitly that an olas nedava, that a voluntary carbon ola, requires smicha, that you have to lean on it, you have to do vidui on it before you offer it as a karban. So the Gemara derives from this pasuk, from the fact that it says vayaaseha kamishpat, we derive from here that not only does an olas nedava require smicha, that's a pasuk and chumash, you can't debate that, but even an olas chova, even an obligatory carbon ola, that also requires requires smicha. So the Gemara now questions this. Amar lei, de amar l'chamani. Who is the author of that statement that even an olas chova, even an obligatory ola requires smicha? So the Gemara says, Beis Shammai, de lo gamrei shalmei chova mishalmei nedava. This must reflect the shita of Beis Shammai, because Beis Shammai do not derive the halachos of a shalmei chova, of an obligatory shlamim, from a voluntary shlamim. In other words, just as in the context of an ola, we just noted that the Torah says that an olas nedava requires smicha, but doesn't comment regarding an olas chova, there's a similar disparity when it comes to a shlamim as well. Now, a shalmei nedava, the Torah does say a shalmei nedava requires smicha, and never comments on a shalmei chova. So it must be that this is reflecting Beis Shammai, because as we'll talk about in a second, Beis Shammai, for some reason, thinks that these two types of shlamims, an obligatory and a voluntary shlamim, are so radically different that we cannot derive one from the other. The Ibe Silel, Kevan de Gamri shalmei chova mi shalmei nedava, olas Olas chova nami loti boikra de gamrei me olas nedava. Because for according to Beis Hillel, they say that since we derive the halachos of a shalmei chova from a shalmei nedava, because again, remember, Beis Hillel is the one who is going to extrapolate the halachos of a obligatory shlamim from a voluntary one. So by that logic, we also should not require a pasuk that it for an olas chova. In other words, it should be obvious that an olas chova, that an obligatory ola, also requires smicha. Why? Because we derive that from an olas nedava. So in other words, according to Beis Hillel, if there is a model, if there's a paradigm that we can derive a shalmei chova from a shalmei nedava, so by that logic, we should also be able to derive an olas chova from an olas nedava. So the fact that we can't do that must reflect Beis Shammai, because Beis Shammai debates that comparison. Beis Shammai says that that comparison is not accurate. So the Gemara now questions this further. Umimai de Beis Hillel shalmei chova mi shalmei nedava gamrei, dilma me olas chova gamrei, va olas chova gufa boyakra. So now the Gemara says, you're making an assumption here. How do you know that Beis Hillel derive the halachos of a shalmei chova, of an obligatory shlamim, from a voluntary one? Perhaps they derive it from an olas chova, from an obligatory ola. And this pasuk in Parashat Shmi that we started with, right, vayakreves ola, vayaseh kamishpat, perhaps that is the source itself that an olas chova requires smicha. In other words, what the Gemara is now basically saying is that not that Beis Hillel necessarily derive the fact that an olas chova requires smicha from an olas nedava, but rather maybe this pasuk in Shmini is the source itself that an olas chova requires smicha. So the Gemara says, okay, but if that's true, maishna mishalmei nedava de logamri shekin mitsuyin me olas chova nami logamri shekin kalil. Now the problem is as follows: if the reason why we're so hesitant to derive the halachos of a shalmei chova from a shalmei nedava is because they're so radically different, why are they so radically different? Because a shalmei chova is very uncommon. Most carbon shlamims that we offer are voluntary. There are very few shalmei chova. So one could have argued that because they're so different, because there are so few shalmei chovas, it's not so crazy to say that we should distinguish, and just because a shalmei nedava requires smicha doesn't necessarily mean that a shalmei chova does. But by that logic, says the Gemara, we should also draw a contrast between an olas chova and an olas nedava. I'm sorry, between an olas chova and a shalmei chova, because an ola we know is radically different from a shlamim and from most other karbanos, because an ola is kula kalil, the whole thing's offered to Hashem. None of it can be eaten by the Yisrael or by the Kohen. So in other words, if we're hesitant to derive a shalmei chova from a shalmei nedava, we should also be equally hesitant to derive a shalmei chova from an olas chova, because again, the shlamim and the ola are so different. So the Gemara says, you're right, asim mi beinaya, it must be that the derivation, that the source that all these types of animals require smicha, all these different types of karbanos, is really basically a composite derivation. It's basically derived from a combination of olas chova, shalmei chova, and of olas nedava, shalmei nedava. In other words, if you put all of them together, you can basically get to the conclusion that all of these animals require smicha. To which the Gemara then asks, "V'savrei beishamei shalmei chova lo bo smicha." Do beishamei really believe that a shalmei chova, that an obligatory shlamim, does not require smicha? The Hasanya, Amar Rabbi Yosi, lo nechluku veishamei uveiselal ala smicha atma shetzarich, ama nechluku al tichav lesmicha shchita, shebeishamei omrim enu tzarich uveiselal omrim tzarich. So says Rabbi Yosi that everybody agrees, both beishamei and beiselal agree that a shalmei chova requires smicha. The only machlokas is whether there's this added requirement known as techef l'smicha shchita. In other words, does the smicha have to happen immediately prior to the shchita or not? This is a machlokas that appears in other places in Shas, in other contexts. But it's clear from this Gemara that everyone seems to agree that a shalmei chova certainly does require smicha. How could anyone claim that Beis Shammai holds otherwise? So the Gemara says, no, it's not true. Hu da amar ki haytana desanya amar Rabbi Yosi b'Rabbi Huda lo nechliku Beis Shammai uveisel al techef l'smicha shchita shetzarich. That, in other words, what we cited earlier was only one version of the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. But now the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda's version of the machlokas, it's actually not necessarily the case that everyone agrees that Hashem Mechover requires smicha. According to Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Yehuda's version, Beis Hillel actually debate that. Beis Hillel actually believe that Hashem Mechover does not require smicha. So it's not agreed upon by everyone that this is the correct version of the machlokas. Okay, then the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Maisa Behillel Azakin Shehivi Olasola Azara Lismucha Le'abiyata. So Hillel, who again is the one that we were just quoting earlier, who said that even an ola requires smicha, despite the fact that you can't eat an ola, that there's no heter of ochel nefesh because you're not eating it, but Hillel is the one who says that you have to do smicha on the karmen ola. So one time he brought his ola to the Beis HaMikdash in order to do smicha on Yontif. So chavru alav tamid eshamei azakein amru lo mativa shel behem azoh. So all of Shammai's students started to gather, to gang up on Hillel, because again, remember, Shammai is the one who says that you're not supposed to do smicha on an ola on Yontif. Again, because smicha is a problem midrabban, and again, whether there's an issue here of ein shavus b'mikdash is a whole separate discussion. But the bottom line is that Shammai's students kind of ganged up, gathered against Hillel, and they started You know, basically questioning him. They said, what's the deal with this animal? What are you doing with this animal? So Amar Lehem, he said, Nekivahi, Lazivche Shlamim. He basically blew them off. And he said, this is a female animal. I'm bringing it as a Shlamim. In other words, he didn't want to admit to them that he was bringing an Ola, because he happened to hold that an Ola does require Smicha, and Shammai disagreed with that. So he just pretended like it was a Shlamim. And again, for a Shlamim, even Shammai agrees that it requires Smicha, because that at least you're going to eat, because it's Ochel Nefesh oriented. So he kind of just blew them off and basically made up a story that he was really bringing a Shlamim. And the Gemara even says, Kishkish lahem biznava v'holchu lahem. So he actually again, it's a little unclear exactly what happened here. Either he wagged the tail of the animal, or he somehow used the tail to cover over the animal's genitalia, so they couldn't tell if it was male or female. Basically, he wanted to just kind of conceal the fact that he was really bringing an ola, and he just pretended that it was a shlamim. So again, they were all happy. All the students of Shammai left him alone. V'osu ayon gavra yadam shel b'shammai abesilo. So what happened? All the students of Shammai were convinced that they were right, because look, even Hillel agrees to our Sock. And the Gemara says, "Uvikshu likvoa halacha kamosa." And as a result of this, they wanted to establish the halacha that they were correct. However, the Gemara says, "V'haya sham zaken echad mitalmidei Shammai azaken ubava ben buta shemo shehaya yodea shehalacha kevis hillel v'shalach v'hevi kol tzon kedar shebirushalayim v'hamidam ba'azara v'amar komi sherot elismoch yavo v'yismoch v'oso ayom gavri yadna shevis hillel v'kavu halacha kamosa v'lo haya sham adam she'irah b'davar klum. What happened was, there was one student of Shammai named Bava ben Buta who knew that the halacha followed Beis Hillel. He realized that Hillel was pulling some shtick here, that he wasn't, being upfront with the students of Shammai. And basically what he did was, he brought in a whole bunch of sheep, very high quality sheep from Kedar in Yerushalayim, and he basically just stood in the Azara and said, anyone who wants to come do smicha on these animals that are going to be olos, they can come and do it. And then everyone realized that we follow Hillel, and then after that, no one protested the halacha anymore. Okay, then the Gemara says, Shuv Maisa V'Talmid Echa Mitalmidei Beis Hillel Shehevi Olaso Lo Azara L'Smicha. Again, a similar story. One of the students of Hillel came to the Beis HaMikdash with this carbon ola to do smicha on Yantif. Matzu Talmid Echa Mitalmidei Beis Shammai. So again, you have one of the students of Shammai, basically encounters this guy. So Amar Lo, he said, Mazo smicha. He starts yelling at him. He says, what is this smicha that you're doing? Because again, according to Shammai, you're not supposed to be doing smicha on an ola on Yantif. To which the student of Hillel responds, Amar Lo, Mazo shtika. He basically, in a nice way, basically told him to keep quiet. He said, what are you arguing about? Everyone knows that we follow Hillel. So the Gemara says, Shasku b'nezifa v'halachlo. So the student of Hillel really gave it to the student of Shammai, and he forcibly silenced him, and then the student of Shammai kind of walked away. So Amar Abaye, Hilka chayt surva mi rabbanan de Amar lechavri milsa loli hader le milsa tfei mimai de Amar lechavre de ihu Amar le mazo smicha v'kama hader le mazo shtika. So the Gemara gives Abaye gives you some interesting advice. He says if two Torah scholars are in the middle of some verbal debate or whatever it is, and they start to get heated a little bit, you shouldn't respond with a lengthier response than what the guy said, because the first guy, right, the student of Shammai, said to him, Mazo smicha, what's the smicha that you're doing? And then the student of Hillel responded to him, Mazo shtika. He used the same number of words. So you shouldn't give a longer answer than the number of words that was used by the first guy. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Tanya, Amru lahem beis Hillel levei Shammai, umad mkom she'asr lehejot mutter lagavoa, makom she'mutter lehejot eno din she'mutter lagavoa. So the Gemara says the following. So this is Beis Hillel's response to Beis Shammai. He says, it says, for example, when it comes to Shabbos, so on Shabbos we know that there is no heter of ochel nefesh, right? Malacha for ochel nefesh is usher on
Shabbos, and yet, despite that, karbanos are allowed. In fact, even and in certain cases, even obligated to be offered on Shabbos. So then, kal v'chomer when it comes to yontif, when on yontif there is a heter of ochel nefesh, I would say kal v'chomer that karbanos should be allowed to be offered on yontif. To which Beis Shammai respond, Amru lehem Beis Shammai, Nidar muna davos yochichu, shemutr lehejud v'asr lagavova. Beis Shammai say to Beis Hillel, I'm going to undermine your argument by pointing to the halachos regarding a carbon neder or nedava, voluntary carbonos. Again, the difference between neder and nedava is that a neder is a voluntary obligation that you put upon yourself. You say, it's hereby incumbent upon me to bring an animal as a carbon, whereas a nedava is that it's on that particular animal. The nafkamina would be if the animal gets lost, it gets stolen, do you have to replace it? That's a whole separate discussion. But bottom line is that when it comes to a carbon neder or nedava, so in that case, a neder or nedava is an animal that the owner is going to partake of. So of course, it's mutter to offer that on yontif. That's ochel nefesh. That's certainly mutter. And yet, say Beis Shammai, it's still usher to offer a carbon neder or nedava as a pure carbon to Hashem. So let's say, for example, you had an olas neder or an olas nedava, which you couldn't eat, which would only be going to Hashem. You would not be allowed to offer that on yontif. So Beis Shammai say, doesn't that undermine your theory, Beis Hillel? Because here you're telling me that there's a scenario where it's mutter for me as a person to offer the carbon when I'm going to eat it, but it's usher when I'm offering it only to Hashem. So the Gemara says, "Amru lahem Beis Hillel, no, ma'al nedar munedavos she'ein kavu lahem zman, tomar ba'olas ri'ya she'kavu lazman." To which Beis Hillel respond and deflect Beis Shammai, and they say that there's a big difference between the two. The reason why you can't offer a carbon neder or nedava on yontif is because it's not what's called kavu lazman, right? In other words, kavu lazman means it has a fixed time, as a set time. By definition, a neder and a nedava is voluntary; you can offer it whenever you want. So by that logic, says the Gemara, that's the reason why you can't bring it. In contrast, when it comes to an olas re'ia, the olas re'ia is a yontif specific carbon. So that has a fixed time. You have to bring that on yontif. So one could argue that maybe the olas re'ia you can bring, even though you can't bring a regular carbon neder and a dava. To which Beis Shammai say, no, amru lehem Beis Shammai, avzoin kavu olasman. Disnan, mishal ochag, biyontov rishon shalchag, chogig v'holich kol haregel kulo, v'yomtov ha'acharon shalchag. To which Beis Shammai respond to Beis Hillel and say, no, even the olas re'ia, which is a yontif specific carbon, is also not really kavua lazman. It doesn't really have a set time, because the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Chagiga that if for whatever reason you couldn't get around to bringing the olas shri on the first day of yontif, you have the whole yontif, you have the whole sukkis plus shmini etzeres to offer that karban. To which Beis Hillel respond, Amru lehem Beis Hillel, no, avzo kavua lazman, disnan over harega v'lochag, eno chaya v'acharayu. So to which Beis Hillel will respond and say that even though, yes, maybe you have a little bit longer than just one day to offer the karban, but lemaisa, you still have a time frame. You still have to offer it by shmini atzeres. If you fail to bring the olas re'ia by then, that it's done. Then your obligation's out the window. So in a sense, it still is a little bit kavua lazman. So then the Gemara says, Amru lehem Beis Shammai, v'halo kvar ne'amar lachem v'lo lagavoa. But isn't there a famous drasha when it comes to ochel nefesh, right? Right, when the pasuk says "Hu levado yaseh lachem," right, when the pasuk talks about the heter of ochel nefesh, and Parshas Bo says "Hu levado yaseh lachem." So, what's included or what's excluded from that word lachem? In other words, lachem means I can only do things that are for me, that are for me for eating on yontif. So, the Gemara says that comes to exclude presumably lagavoa. In other words, any carbon which is exclusively consumed by Hashem on the mizbeach, namely a carbon ola, would not be allowed to be offered on yontif. It sounds like according to Beis Shammai. So, the Gemara says no. Amru lahem beisila v'halo kvar ne'amar laHashem kol. But doesn't the pasuk also say la Hashem? In other words, that would imply that anything which is offered to Hashem. In other words, even if a person will have nothing to do with it, they're not going to eat it. Nonetheless, it's still mutter to offer. So the Gemara says no. Imkein matam alomer lachem, lachem v'lo lekusim, lachem v'lo lechlavim. So the Gemara says one could have argued, and again, this is a drasha that the Gemara derives elsewhere in the Masechta and also in Masechta Megillah, that we derive from the word lachem. Lachem teaches me that one is not allowed to cook for non-Jews on yontif, and not allowed to cook for your animals on yontif. So the heter of ochel nefesh is only that one can cook for yourself, for your family, for Jews on yontif. That's okay, but not for anyone else. And again, whether you're allowed to offer, let's say, an ola, which is exclusively consumed by God and not by human beings, so that will be the subject of the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Abba Shaul omra belashon acheres. Abba Shaul presented this exact distinction that we just discussed in a slightly different way. Umab mkom shekiras chastuma kiras rabcha psucha, bimkom shekiras chapsucha in. So the Gemara now basically illustrates the same point, but with a slightly different mashal. So again, remember earlier in the Gemara we were talking about the distinction between Shabbos and Yontif by saying, oh, you know, on Yontif where there's a het Pater of Ochel Nefesh. So then Kal v'chomer, you should be allowed to offer the Nedarim and Nedavos, but on Shabbos there's not. So the Gemara now basically just presents that the same idea by using the mushal of an oven. So on Shabbos, when your oven is closed, so to speak, in other words, meaning to say there's no Heter of Ochel Nefesh, so yet nonetheless the Hashem's oven is open, meaning you're allowed to offer Nedarim and Nedavos. So Kal v'chomer, when it comes, I'm sorry, you're allowed to offer certain Karbanos on Shabbos. So Kal v'chomer, when it comes to Yantif, when there is a Heter of Ochel Nefesh, certainly offering those Karbanos should be mutter. And in fact, the Gemara says, V'chein b'din, shelo yehesh shulchan chamale v'shulchan rab charikan. In fact, it makes sense that it's not appropriate that our table should be filled and God's table should be empty. In other words, if we're allowed to eat, if we're allowed to consume things on Yantif, there's a Heter of Ochel Nefesh, that Heter should certainly extend to Karbanos that are offered to Hashem. So the Gemara wants to know, b'may kamiflagi, what's the machlokas between these two versions of the Gemara that seem to be saying almost the same thing? So the Gemara says, Mar Savar Nedarim Unedavos Kraven Biyomtov, Umar Savar Ein Kraven Biyomtov. The machlokas between these two versions basically boils down to the question of whether one is permitted to offer Nedarim and Nedavos and Yantif. In the first version of the Gemara, where the Gemara just basically drew a straight line between Shabbos and Yantif, Ochel Nefesh and No Ochel Nefesh, there is no heter to offer Nedarim and Nedavos and Yantif. But according to the second version of Abba Shaul, so it sounds like that it would be permissible to offer those Nedarim and Nedavos on Yantif. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna, L'divrei ha'omer Nedarim u'Nedavos ein kraven b'yom tov, lo tema mida oraisa michsa chazu v'rabbanu d'gazri b'hu gzera shema yishaha, ela afilu mida oraisa nami lo chazu. The Gemara clarifies that according to the opinion that you're not allowed to offer Nedarim and Nedavos on Yantif, don't think that this is just some technical din d'rabbanan, that we're afraid that you're going to leave the animal over too long and that you're going to miss the cutoff point, because there's a halacha, right, that again we're going to talk about a lot more about this actually in the next Masechta, in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, about the halacha known as Baal Ta'achir, that there's an issur in the Torah that once you pledge to bring an animal as a carbon, you're not allowed to delay. It's a whole machlokas and Gemara exactly how long you're not allowed to delay, but lemaisa there's an issur called Baal Ta'achir. So one could have argued that maybe the only reason why we're going to impose some kind of gzera derabanan to force you to bring your carbon neder and dove as soon as possible and not push it off to Yantif is because maybe we're afraid of this Isser of Baal Ta'acher. But the Gemara says, no, that's really not the issue. There's really a fundamental problem, Mida Oraisa, here with offering this animal. It's really not fit to offer at all. How do we know that? When it comes to the Shtei HaLechem, right, which is the carbon associated with Shavuos, right, those two loaves that accompany the Kivsei Atzeres that are offered on Shavuos, that's an obligation of the day. That's a carbon that's associated with Shavuos. Once Shavuos is over, you can't bring the Shtei HaLechem. There's no way to bring it anymore, or maybe after the Tashlumen period of that 1 week after Shavuos, but that's it. So there's no Gzeira Shema Yeshahe. There's no Gzeira Derabana by Shavuos. Oh, we're afraid if you don't bring it today, then you're going to delay, because you can't bring it anyway after the week after Shavuos. So, and despite that fact, the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Menachos that the Shtei HaLechem is not Docha Shabbos or Yontif. So it actually turns out to be a very strange thing, that Shavuos is very strange, in the sense, it's a very strange holiday. The carbon of the Yantif, according to this opinion in the Gemara at least, can never be brought on Shavuos itself, because according to this opinion in the Gemara, the Shtei HaLechem is, again, it's certainly not Docha Shabbos, but it's not even Docha Yantif, which means that you would have to bring the carbon of Shavuos, according to this opinion, the day after Shavuos, which is a very, very strange thing. Now, we probably know possibly, like, we probably assume the Shtei HaLechem can't be offered on Shabbos, so if Shavuos and Shabbos coincide, which in the way our calendar falls out, the first day of Shavuos can never be on a Shabbos, only the second day. So in Eretz Yisrael, you don't have that problem anyway, but in theory, if the first day of Shavuos were to be on Shabbos, then you couldn't bring the Shtei HaLechem, you have to push it off to the following day. But if it's just a regular weekday, if Shavuos was just a regular weekday, so we assume that you would bring the Shtei HaLechem, but according to this one opinion, you would not be allowed to do so, which would mean that in every scenario, according to this opinion, the carbon of Shavuos has to be brought the day after Shavuos, which is kind of a very strange phenomenon. Okay. Then the Gemara says, Iboya Luhu, Ledivre Ha'omer Nedarim Unedavos Ein Kraven Biyomtov, Ovar Veshachan Mai. So again, according to the opinion in the Gemara that you're not supposed to be bringing your carbon neder or Nedava on Yantif, what if you went ahead and did it anyway? You went ahead, you shechted the carbon, you offered it on Yantif. You weren't supposed to do that. What's the din now? What are you supposed to do now? So the Gemara says, Rava Amar Zorek Esadam Amenas Lahatir Basar Ba'achila, Rabba Barafuna Amar Zorek Esadam Amenas Lahatir Imurin La'erev. So according to Rava, what you should do is, you do the Zrika Sadam on the animal with the condition that you're going to be allowed to eat the meat of the carbon. So again, there's still an Ochel Nefesh component there that's still allowing you to eat from the meat of the carbon. Whereas according to Rabba Barafuna, he says no. He says you can even do the Zrika Sadam on the condition that you simply offer offer up the animal, even though you're not going to eat it. So according to Rabbah Bar Rafuna, even though there's no ochel nefesh aspect here, you can still salvage the animal and do zrika. So the Gemara says, "My benai, what's the nafkamina between these two approaches?" So ika benayu nitma basar o sha'avad le'rava lo zarek le'rabbah Bar Rafuna zarek. A nafkamina would be if the meat of the carbon either got lost or became tameh. So according to Rabbah, according to Rava, he says, once you lose the ochel nefesh factor, so namely you lost the meat, or the meat became tameh, now you can no longer eat it, so now you no longer have that heter anymore, and you can't do zrikas adam. But according to Rabbah Bar Rafuna, the whole issue here is that you want to offer the karban, so the fact that you lost it or that it became tameh doesn't impact you, because you weren't going to be eating it anyway, because there was no ochel nefesh factor going on according to Rabbah Bar Rafuna anyway, and therefore you would still be allowed to do zrikas adam in this case, according to Rabbah Bar Rafuna. Okay.
So
the Gemara does discuss that in other contexts, but if for these purposes, it doesn't necessarily, the Gemara doesn't seem to be distinguishing. Again, the original context of the question was Avar Veshachat. So Avar Veshachat sounds like it was almost Beshogeg, but again, you could maybe make the argument that Avar Veshachat was even Bemezid. The Gemara doesn't really specify what the case here was. It's not clear if it was Shogeg or Bemezid. I'm not necessarily sure if it matters. I think it just, again, boils down to this machlokas between Rava and Rabbah Bar Rafuna. That would determine whether you can do Zrika. Okay, then the Gemara says,
getting back to the Shvei Alechem, why couldn't they just bake that bread in advance and bring it on Shabbos? I mean...
It's a Shavuos carbon. It's a Shavuos carbon. What do you mean? The Shvei Alechem is the carbon.
Yeah, so they can't...
According to one opinion in the Gemara, you can't bring the Shtei Alechem. Again, if Shavuos and Shabbos coincide, you certainly can't bring it. But according to one opinion, even just on a normal Shavuos, if it's a normal weekday Shavuos, you also can't bring the Shtei Alechem on that day. You have to bring it the following day. Again, we know that there's a concept of Tashlumen. That's why everyone knows that we don't say Tachanun for the week after Shavuos because of Tashlumen. So that Tashlumen applies for the week after. So according to this opinion, there really is no carbon that can be offered on Shavuos proper. But in other words, you always have to offer the carbon on the Tashlumen day by almost by definition. Okay, then the Gemara says Meisvei Kivsei Atzeres Sheshchatan Shalolishman O Sheshchatan Bein Lefnei Zmanan Bein LaAcher Zmanan Hadam Yizarik VaHabasar Yeachel VeMaisa Shabbos Lo Yizrok VeYim Zarak Hurtza Amenas LaHakdirei Murin LaErev Im Zarak Diavon In LeChachilolo Bishlamo LaRava Necha El LaRaba Barafuna Kashia. So the Gemara now presents the following question. There's a Brisa. The Gemara quotes a Menachos that tells us the following. So I have again my Kivsei Atzeres, my lambs for Shavuos that are accompanied by the Shtei Alechem, right? And I shechted them improperly. So what does that mean? I shechted them shalo lishma with the wrong intentions, or I shechted it before Shavuos, I shechted it after Shavuos, whatever. I basically messed up the shechita of the carbon in some way. So the Gemara says, what should you do? So you can still do the zrikas adam, you can still eat the meat of the carbon. However, if it was Shabbos when you made this mistake, then you can no longer do zrika. But if you did zrika anyway, after messing it up on Shabbos, so then you can still get kapara from the carbonos, you could still do the zrikas adam, as long as your intention is to offer the carbon that evening. So the Gemara says that would only seem to make sense. In other words, the formulation of this Braisa in Menachos, which says, Im Zarak, if you went ahead and did Zrika. So that implies that that's only going to work Bidiyevin, not Lechadchila. But that would seem to only be true according to Rav, because again, remember, because according to Rabbah Bar Rafuna, as we cited earlier in the Gemara, you don't need a factor of Ochel Nefesh to allow you to do Zrika Sadam. So the fact that the Gemara in Menachos is formulating this case as a Bidiyevin case would seem to only be true according to Rava and not according to Rabbah Bar Rafuna. So the Gemara gives two answers. The Gemara says, Kashya. So the first answer, the Gemara says, you're right. This is actually a difficulty. And again, we've mentioned this point 100 times before. Whenever the Gemara says Kashya, so the Rashbam in Maseches Baba Basra says that there's two ways to understand Kashya. Either Kashya means it's such an overwhelming question, it's almost like a tiyufta, it's like a refutation, that we have no way of resolving it, and it really undermines our entire previous theory. The other way, and usually the more accepted way of Kashya, is that Kashya is kind of a technical, textual question. It's an issue. You have to deal with it, but it's not the end of the world. So that's usually how we assume. So Kashya probably just means, yeah, it's some textual question, but it doesn't necessarily mean that Rabbah Bar Rafuna is wrong. And then the other answer, which is Ibayasema Shiny Shiva Shabbos Mishvas Yantif. One could argue that there's room to distinguish between Durabanans associated with Shabbos versus Durabanans associated with Yantif. So in other words, just because when it comes to Durabanans associated with Shabbos, in this case, let's say of the Kifse Yatzar that you shechted on Shabbos, we're gonna say that we're gonna say that only Bidiyevit works. It could be that when it comes to Yantif, if you accidentally shechted it and then the meat became lost or tameh, so it could be be that Rabbi Bar Avuna himself would distinguish between one who messed up on Shabbos versus Yontif, because in Shabbos is more chumer, he would agree with Rava that b'diavad will work. Now, there happens to be an interesting textual question with this last part of the Gemara, which is, why does the Gemara give the answer of Kashya if in the very next sentence it gives you an answer? Right? It seems kind of odd. So the Chasam Sofer addresses that. Why exactly the Gemara first says, I don't know, and then gives you an answer, right? You know, usually when you see Kashya at the end of a Gemara, it's usually the end of the Gemara, and then the Gemara doesn't usually give another answer. So it's a little bit odd that the Gemara says Kashya and then gives you an answer right after. So again, that's a kind of interesting question to figure out. Okay.